So holding Mechilta, I think, right?
Yes.
Atem Reisim Asher Asisim Mitzrayim Veses Chamakal Fin Yishon Vaves Chemelai. So the question exactly is, what is the Vaves Chemelai? When did that happen? Abelazayim Ezeyoyim Shereskap Tzubo L'Ramses D'Shor Kala. Vaves Chemelai Ze Lahar Sinai. So it says like this. Atem Reisim Asher Asisim Mitzrayim. So there's an Atem Reisim. So there's 2 points of start point and an end point. So Rabbi Yehuda says that the first one is going back. The Beis Hashem Kafir Yisharim is going back to Yom Shes Kapsu Ubo LeRamzes LeShor Kala. But Beis Hashem Alas Har Sinai. Rabbi Kiva says no. Zeh Matan Torah. Lefisha Yisrael near term lachem yud beis mil, so that's the ve'es ha'eschem ha'kam v'shchina. Ba'ob ha'eschem alai is a beis ha'bchira ad kam. So that's the machloikas over there. And Kedarka, the Maral, is going through all the psukim and with the chazal. Ubirze, kildas rabbi Eliezer yitzias mitzayim ascholos alekicha shal kashem tzorch Yisrael eilof. Umatn ter sef alekicha. So rabbi Eliezer holds itself contained in terms of the being taken out of Mitzrayim, and Matan Torah is the safe pasuk of it all. Uladaser Rakiva lohoy Matan Torah tachlis advekus boy rak binyan beis abchira. Olafika savik aschalz lekir Matan Torah tasa kir rabbi beis amikdash. So the question really is, which do we look? There's really two ways to look at it. We can look at the Binyan Beis HaBchira and the Beis HaMikdash and the Matan Torah really have two sides to themselves. It says L'Marshal that the Luchos were in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Kodesh Kodosh, that's where they were, and the Ramban says that the Beis HaMikdash was kind of a sort of embodiment of Har Sinai, a permanent exhibit of Har Sinai. So Bemis, you could look at it in both ways. You could say the goal was Har Sinai. We got Har Sinai, and now the way to preserve Har Sinai forever is to have it in the Beis HaMikdash. But really, all the Beis HaMikdash is doing is preserving Har Sinai. Or you could say the Tachlis is the Beis HaMikdash, and Torah is what you build the Beis HaMikdash on. Really, in a deeper sense, there is this machlokas. Really, is had a, when we speak about a person's tachlis in the bria, so we can say that a person has an neshama from another world, and he's meant to embody it in this world. He's meant to do everything kefi, what his neshama is, in a physical setting. So we can look at that in two ways. We can look at it and say, so the real tachlis is ruchnius, the world we came from. It's just that we need to do it even in this world. It's sort of just a kind of multiplier of this world, of the ruchnius of that world. So then the ikar is the Torah we come with, the mitzvahs, and doing it in this world is just Akash Baruch want to be done on a even against all odds, so to speak. We could look at it the other way. We could look at it as being something which comes from the tachlis is this world, and that other world is just a chetimtza how to mold this world. I guess if I can give a practical muscle, imagine we have an architecture school. And I tell the chevra, okay, Rabbi, so we're going to learn how to draw plans, and we draw plans. Then I say, okay, here you have models, here you have pieces of wood. I want you to build your plans, actually. And then you'll see what those plans really are in the Olam HaMaisa. There's a different setup where we're building a building, and we go to the architect and get plans, then we build the building. So both of them are the same idea. You have plans, you have a building. The question is, what do I see as the Iker and what do I see as the Tefel? In the first case, the Iker is really the plans. I'm teaching the architects how to draw plans. Just want them to show and see what it looks like. You know, this drawing, how it's going to look like when they actualize it. The second one, the Tachlis, is really the building, and I just need drawings because I need to what to draw it at. So in the relationship of Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh, you could say that the Tachlis is this world perfected by having a very good paradigm from the other world, or no, the other world, the Ruchnius, is really an Iker, except the Kadosh Baruch Hu challenged us to do it even against all odds in the physical world. But Betzim, what's the Iker is the Pimius. And both are valid ways of looking at the same phenomenon. Ushmatim is Brisi. Mechilter, Bleazo Oime Ze Bris Shabbos, Akiva Oime Ze Bris Milo, Avodis Alilim, Adkan. By the way, these Chazal over here that he's taking from Mechilta, the Mechilta is the Medrash that usually is sort of deals with Halacha. It's a lot more, if I understand him, Medrash Rabbah goes off on tangents, and a lot of it is Drush, as opposed to Mechilta, which he assumes should be following the text much more closely, and therefore everything needs to be learned at a level of kind of Pshat or whatever. Ushmatim is brisi b'mechilta. Rebbez oim is a bris Shabbos. Rekiva is a bris Milo. But it's a gomad kan. Pirush machloikas lahem. Kiladiver akoyel bola hazesh leyisur min Hashem esbach rabat la bris shepnei Hashem esbach. It's tachlis ushmatim is a bris means to keep the a bris. No two ways about it. V'saber v'liyaze ki a bris v'chibu bris Shabbos. Why is the bris Shabbos? So the nefesh is sort of something that has a chibur to both of them, and the nefesh itself, let's call it, is tahor. V'oma kosev ki kasha yishma bris shlo yivat lachiba di achatoyim shemisach sal nefesh rak yishma bris ha-nefesh sheyim Hashem Yisbarach ve'oz ha-guf ha-shu mishutav ala nefesh v'asecha shemisach ha-nefesh gam kein im Hashem Yisbarach kasha nefesh ishut veikas Hashem Yisbarach leze oma zubris Shabbos. Now, let's talk a little bit about this nefesh that he says. The Maral divides a human kochos into three categories, which is almost always his categories. You have the guf, you have the nefesh, you have the seichel. The guf is it's a physical body, but more important, it's the drives that emanate from physical desire, craving, etc. That's the koach haguf. The nefesh is the seichel is kind of pure ruchnius. It's the three. It's the one that is be'etzem dovok lamala. The nefesh are the drives in a person that we would sort of call them more emotion. Ambition, greed, accomplishment, all sorts of drives that are not physical cravings, but a person wants to accomplish, do, and so on. If we are to ask ourselves, what is the engine that drives a person, we would say it's these type of drives. In other words, it makes me go out, work, accomplish, build, etc. This is also the part of the person that the ra in it is a ra of greed and things of that nature. Shabbos is something which addresses that chelek. and he says ki Shabbos hu nefesh, when she almost all nefesh said into other Shabbos, va'oid ki Shabbos shehu menucha shehu lenefesh, ki atnuhu lenefesh. In other words, a person's and you see even a physical drives usually they urge a person to do nothing but to receive hanah. The less done, the less sweated, the less worked, that fits very well with the guf. The nefesh is do, push, close the deal, accomplish, etc. So he says Shabbos is the menucha which applies most strongly to the nefesh. Ketnu nefesh, leave your farm alone, don't work, sit back, and v'chein amnucha nefesh, v'chein ksiv Shabbos v'inafash. Because sheyishma Shabbos b'shleimus, v'zil nefesh d'veikas Hashem esbach, yimoshach azeh aguf asel gam kein sheyim Hashem esbach. So the key to it, he holds that the key to it is, Rabbi Eliezer says the key to the person is that koach. That's the mid koach of the person. And if a person is able to that, everything else will follow along and become Dovah Kodesh Baruch Hu. Rav Kiva Adraba, im yishmu amila shi beguf, ad she'ein leguf silik mitis barach. Bris mila is important to him. Bris mila relates to physical drives. That's the piece that you have to rein in more than anything else. V'chein im yishmu bris avodes alilim, ke avodes alilim ulesech ladam. And avodes alilim is deals with the seichel adam. V'dover ze yedua shama kosel mantfois espes yisrael b'libam v'en HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzav machshav l'maisa rakets avodes kochavim. So therefore it's avodes kochavim is the only avera where if we think of doing it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers a maisa. And the reason is pashut, because avodah zarah is primarily a condition of what we believe and understand, and so on. So zeh keneged zeh. V'nira shatzoloima sheyishmu gam kimishachatem sheshachin leguf kimoi hatayves geitzeboy v'chein shachatem sheshachin laseichel v'oz adam kashesh leguf laseichel chiva Hashem yisborach oz gam hanefesh asheyesh lechiva laguf laseichel gam kein im Hashem yisborach. So it's interesting. The question is nefesh versus seichel and or guf. In other words, the one that Rabbi Eliezer says, he says just nefesh, whereas Rabbi Akiva says either seichel or guf. It's very possible. Rabbi Akiva's are the extremes. Rabbi Eliezer is sort of the midpoint. The midpoint of a person is his nefesh. That's his car that drives him. And in a certain sense, it's the leverage for everything else. Like all midpoints, it's like when you have a fulcrum, you could move the whole thing on the fulcrum. The nefesh is really what's driving the person, and so on. Okay, so that's one type of one pshat in understanding Bris Shabbos versus Bris Mila or Avodah Zarah. ויש כל הפרש גם כן, לדעת סבלי הזה, שישמס בריס השבס, כי השבס אף שמענו, וראוי שיהיה החיבור, שהוא לנפש, עם השם יסבורך בריס, כי הנפש יש לו דווי כזו חיבוגו עם השם יסבורך, ואין לו עשור הכלל. ולזה אומה זה בריס שבס. So he wants to say that the musig of a bris is something that is a musig of a bris is something which is totally dovuk and inseparable. Very famous that because every bris they used to cut animals in half, it's sort of saying we're really part of one entity, we're not shalom without the other. Or the das Rabbi Akiva who bris mila bris avodes kochavim mipnei sheyisrael sheinu bris mila misulik Hashem yisparach kasher arul v'chein in lishu bris avodes kochavim misulik gam Hashem yisparach. Those two bris mila and avodes alilim are really totally negative in yanim. In other words, no to taiva, no to avodah zarah. as opposed to Shabbos, which even though it's by not doing melacha, but Shabbos has in itself the element of kedusha, positive. V'chein elisha bris avay sechov musul legam Hashem Yisbarach. L'das Rebbe Elazar ashmira shila bris sechiv Hashem Yisbarach legamri. V'l'das Rebbe Akiva shishma shali yisul kachiba. In other words, v'zeh shaykh etz bris mila bris avay sechov kashal yishmu asar gmur Hashem Yisbarach v'zeh nocha. So he says, really, there is be'etzem a bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, except we stray from it, either Avodah Zarah or Arayis. Avodah Zarah is called, it's called Znus. Avodah Zarah is called Znus Alev. Well, it's a Surah Achei Levafnum V'Cheinechem. This is Minus, and this is Arayis. So be'etzem you have a sort of straying away, and the bris is realized by the etzem. The bris is there, but a person can go off. So really, the bris is all about keeping what's there, as opposed to Rebbe Eliezer, who holds that you need to create a bris, and that's.
Sorry, the volume got
bad. Now it's good.
Now it's good. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, your volume, my volume. I don't know what it was.
I couldn't hear you very well.
Okay, but say, because I was hearing a lot of hissing. So okay. Fine. So kapanim, that's the difference is between whether the bris is realizing the bris that's there already, or creating a new bris. I want to add one more point. Guess to complement what he's saying, the Maral. He's speaking about the bris that's there already versus the bris that you're creating and making. So even if you hold, you're creating and making a bris, the understanding is that Klal Yisrael is be'etzem part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Klal Yisrael is B'nei B'chayr Yisrael, Chelek Elkai Mimal, all of those expressions that confirm the fact that Klal Yisrael is Shayach HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'etzem. So really, it's not as if we be'etzem are creating a bris, but if there's a mashal for it, it would be something like it says, like by Shabbos, it says Shabbos is a Shabbos, the last is a Shabbos or a sum. So Shabbos is a very interesting mix. The ikar of Shabbos is not doing anything. If we ask ourselves what is the main thing to do on Shabbos, the answer would be not to do. On the other hand, it's called Lasis HaShabbos. There's Shomer and Zohar. Halachically, the Shomer is by far more significant in terms of the Chumrah, in terms of the amount of halachas, everything. But the Zohar is what happens. So you create, it's an interesting Hechatimtza, where you create a positive bris by simply not breaking it, and by making it something that is that's there. If I can give a mashal to it, let's say a person has a very close friend, and he wants to keep the friendship. Part of keeping that friendship is making sure that you don't overdo it, you don't go past boundaries, that you're respectful of each other's boundaries, needs for privacy, whatever you want to call it. So it's an interesting combination. On the one hand, it requires a certain active pursuit. You need to do things. On the other hand, it bets in what you're doing is keeping what's there. It's like Shalom Bayis. There's a lot that goes in, you know, showing a wife you appreciate her and all of that, even though the tachlis is to keep the bris that's there. There's a certain bris, mikoyach the nesuin, mikoyach the ketushin nesuin. So with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can't make a bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's either is be'etzim or it's not be'etzim, but we have the ability to either to do something which will keep it from deteriorating, and that becomes an asiyah. So when I work hard so that it not deteriorate, when I say somebody is working hard at his shalom bayis, let's say. What I'm saying really is he's doing the things to make sure that nothing upsets the bond that's supposed to be there, as being married. I mean, nothing is supposed to be more than marriage. Marriage is the bond, except that if a person neglects his wife, if a person belittles his wife, if a person betrays his wife, all of that, he's destroying it. So he may need to do a lot of work with himself to hold on to it. But Be'etzim, that work is there to hold on what's already there, not to create something new. And it's not that that's it. It's giving us, in a certain sense, the best of both worlds. And let's explain why. If we needed to create a new bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that would mean that bris is not atzmi to us. For instance, when a person is born, he has parents and siblings. They're his for life because he was born with them, and that's who he is. A wife could be a very, very strong kesher. It's a stronger kesher in many ways, but there are options because he wasn't born with it. On the other hand, when a person is born with something, there's very, very little input in you say, I can't, you know, you're my, I mean, I once heard somebody told his father, I mean, the parents had gone through a very, very tough divorce, and the kids had been in tremendous logheads with the parents, whatever. The kid got married, and the father asked him if he can come to the wedding, and the son said, I can't stop you because I can't help myself, I can't help the fact that you're my father, but you're only to come at the chuppah, stay in the back, whatever, terrible. But the point was, the attitude of, I'm stuck with it, but it's meaningless to me, is what's wrong with the type of bris that you're born with. So if you say somebody's brother, when somebody says, this is my brother, it doesn't mean much because I didn't have much choice. It's, I once had, well, my youngest boy was kibitzing with him, and he asked me, you know, like all kids, you have less and less pictures of when they're young, the younger they are, you know, the oldest one, you have a ton of pictures that. So he made some comment about maybe I'm adopted. So I said, no way. He said, why? He said, we would have picked somebody a lot better, you know, a lot more mutzlach. It's okay. He can take it. It's he's a good. He can get back as good as he can get. But a bris that I had no choice to be born with, I also don't have. It's not terribly meaningful to me. It doesn't really. The ideal combination is that the bris is be'etzem inside me, but it's something which I need to work hard at preserving it. So it just like a marriage is a bris that you made, and therefore you did it, but it's not be'etzem. Parents, sibling, it's be'etzem, but because you didn't make it or do it, it cannot mean anything also. The ideal is when you have the both together, work together, that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris with us. We be'etzim are a chelik l'kai mimal, and therefore the bris that we're going to create didn't happen in Yetzias Mitzrayim, it didn't happen when we were adults, it happened be'etzim. But we can't take it for granted, and unless we do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has bris with us, it's not going to, it'll become covered up. I think that's the right way to put it. The same thing is true by Torah. The idea where the Malach teaches us before we're born and then we forget it, they have to work very, very hard to relearn it, re-understand it, it's the same idea. Had it not been given to us within us when we were, before we were born, it would be an addition to us. And an addition means that the possibility to exist without it is a real possibility, because it's not betzim. Masha'ein kain, when you have a Torah be'etzim inside, so it's already part of you. On the other hand, if you would just remember it because you were sort of programmed with it, it would be meaningless. It wouldn't mean anything. Reb Chaim Shabbat said over Reb Shimon Shkop, I think Reb Shimon or Reb Yeruchim, maybe said over Reb Yeruchim, I'm not sure, about why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created forgetfulness. Why is it important to forget? And he said, if there would not be shikha in the world, then you'd have drunks rolling in the gutter reciting Mesechtes Baal Peh. So today, you need to be working at it in order for it to stay with you. So again, in Torah you have both parts of the bris in Torah. You have the fact that it's part and parcel of you from birth. It's part of your metzias. On the other hand, you need to keep renewing it in order for it to present itself, to exist. They have one of the previous Lubavitcher rebbes sent out to shluchim to go around to towns to bemoir them and so on. This is before they had the formal institution of shlichas. He sent around a shluchim to go ahead and to bemoir, go town to town. So they came to a town, they spoke, whatever, and people on the sermon, and someone asked him, what is this, like, where does this come from? Where did this minute come from? So they told him a mashal. They said in the old days, they would have seifrim go around from town to town. They would check all of the sefer Torah, and if there was any letters that were rubbed out, they would fix those letters. They would rewrite those letters, and so they said that's what they're doing in effect. They're going from town to town, and if anybody has letters that were rubbed out, so they told it over. They came back and they told it over to the Rebbe. I don't remember, it was Rashab or it was the Mariatz, and he said it's very nice, but the mashal is inaccurate. He said a better mashal than letters rubbed out would be engraved letters that became encrusted with dust and earth. When you're writing letters, you're writing something new that didn't exist before. That's not the case by Yiddish and Neshama. What you're doing is you are cleaning and clearing out dirt that's encrusted, and the letter that comes back is b'meilo the letter that was the lechatchila. The same idea. But Akoponim, that's the two brises. That's how this bris happens. It's a bris, and that's why Shabbos is probably an excellent mashal for it, because Shabbos is a day that exists, but if you don't preserve it, it becomes mechulam. So the Shmir Shabbos is not doing anything, but that creates a Shabbos, because Shabbos is kvi v'kaima. So it requires a lot of self-control and reining in not to do something, which in case would have, and what you get is the Shabbos HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave. Okay, we'll hold it here.
Okay. Great.
Good for sure.
Good for.
Bye.